Welcome back to the Pack a Day Radio Show. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show is coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on the Fan. But joining us right now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is the one and only Sir Dustin Evely, Acme Packing Company, Pack a Day Podcast. You can find him on social media at Dusty Evely. Dusty, anytime that we've gone more than 5 minutes from talking, it has been too long, but this has also been too long. Dusty, how are you doing, my friend?
Brother, I am good. I didn't know when I caught the sir, but I appreciate that. Man, we got football on the horizon. We got Micah Parsons. I'm rolling, brother. I am doing great.
It is a great time to be a Packers fan. There's no question about it. What could go wrong from here? But right now we are basking in the glory of everything that's gone on recently. Let's start there. Let's start with the... Actually, I have a question for you before we get started. What does a archer hold his arrows in?
Quiver.
There it is.
Knew See, he was going to know that. No, 100%.
Yeah, I knew Dusty would know that for sure.
I thought it was a bad joke. I was like, oh, where's he going with this?
No. We just had some quiver conversation segment once. Just want to make sure that you were aware. So that's all. All right. Now, more importantly, I guess kind of, but maybe as importantly, your just general reaction to the Micah Parsons trade when everything happened. And like, as you saw it come through, are you double, triple checking, you know, if it's not fakey in Rappaport? Like, what was your reaction in that moment?
That shock, disbelief. I was cooking supper and my brother texted me. So, like, I knew he had checked and double checked and triple checked his sources before he texted. He really just, all he texted was, guys. And I was like, oh, what happened? It was just shock and disbelief, man. That was just one of those things where you're staring at the screen for a little bit and going, this is real. Like, they really did it. Waiting for another pick to come in, waiting for another player to show up. Nope, it's two firsts and Kenny Clark. Just shock, disbelief. I'm still kind of in that for a 26-year-old Micah Parsons. That's insane they would trade him. Why would they trade him? I don't know, but I'm still dealing with that.
The fact that Green Bay got younger in this trade, that they were already the youngest team in football, and they somehow pick up Micah Parsons in a 2 first-round pick trade and got younger in the process by going from Kenny Clark to Micah Parsons is really like one of the like side stories that's really incredible in this entire thing. You've obviously been digging into the tape. I have as well. Probably you're probably ahead of me on tape study right now, but he's obviously just so insanely fun to watch. As you've watched some of the films so far, what's kind of stood out to you most that you're just either you're drooling over or you just can't wait to kind of see how Jeff Hafley utilizes him?
I mean, he's good. I mean, he's the speed and violence that he plays at. In all levels, and he'll do. I mean, I think one of the biggest things, it's not even like the mug stuff, because you get like the 2A get muggers. You got the two guys on either side of the center. They've got him and whatever. I think it's called the radar front, which is like the five, but you got the two split out and then he's over the center. He's beating good centers clean. He's got that quick twitch where he can go across the face. But if they're playing across the face, he'll cut that off, get skinny, and get up, get vertical through that instead of crossing. The speed and violence he can do that at with good players is shocking. I mean, one of the big things I was looking at was, obviously I was watching a bunch of pass rush stuff, and I watched a bunch of run stuff too. And the run stuff was, how does he hold up point of attack, right? Because that was the thing. Like, well, he's not a good run defender. Well, like, he's not a big dude. And so, like, he will get, like, the only negative I've seen on him, he'll get moved by double teams. Like, if they're running duo at him and they want to displace him, they can displace him. Like, but that's true of pretty much every edge rusher that's that size. It's his speed, violence, and then, like, just intelligence. You'll see him in the run game. Dude, he had one that it was just kind of one of those. I made so many noises watching Micah Parsons. He had one that was, you get that, like, that split flow zone action where you got the tight end, like, pre-snap motion, and then he's supposed to, like, come under the line at the snap and then cut off the end man on the line of scrimmage. He's blocking the backside of the run. Goes. I mean, Packers have run this 1,000 times. Tight end goes in motion. They snap the ball. Micah beats the tight end to his spot. The tight end's in motion before the snap, and he beats the tight end before the tight end can even get there to cut off the end man on the line of scrimmage and makes a tackle for loss. So it's that, like, it's that combination of speed, violence, and intelligence. He's, like, he will get displaced occasionally in the run game. But he's going to make up for that for just, like, he can get so skinny. He is such a good tackler that he's going to get you some TFLs in the run game as well. So, I mean, there's just – he excels at all levels. I think someone asked me that recently. They were like, well, what's he bad at? And I was like, nothing. He's not bad at anything.
I'm with you, and I'm glad you brought up that last part about the double teams, because yes, he will get displaced at times, but there's other times where either he's A, holding up, or B, like you said, just splitting it, getting skinny through it, and all of a sudden it's a 5-yard loss in the backfield. And I'll live with that. I'll live with being displaced a few times if also it comes with, you know, a handful of tackles for loss, or just again holding up at the point of attack. And the stuff over center, to your point too, yes, the double A gap stuff is fun, but you just see him, I think it was the Ravens game, where he just immediately just destroys the center. And then he had a play, you know, whether we want to like talk about too, like the physicality and the toughness, he had a play against Joel Bitonio, who's obviously one of the better guards of football, and just completely like jackknifes him into the backfield, and Batonio's like immediately off balance. Yep. And it's just like, he is taking good players and making them like completely lost, with like looking like they're rookie players playing in the preseason for the first time. And like just having that player that can do some of that stuff without having to necessarily even scheme it up too much or put too much window dressing on it. Just good football player, and is going to beat your good football players.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that was the thing I was looking at. I didn't look at everyone's numbers as far as like, you know, the guys across from him, because you're okay, what's he doing? But sometimes you're like, okay, who was that he beat? You know, there's something like what he did to the Bengals, like he should be put in prison for what he did against the Bengals. But like some of those Bengals, like offensive linemen were bad. There was one he had that was like just beat him clean and then knocked the man over. And I was like, who is that? And it was Luke Getteke, who like just got paid.
He just got the huge contract. So,
like you said, like he's going to abuse the lesser guys, but then even like the good guys, like he will make the best guys out there look silly at times. It's just, it's very exciting.
Was it you who put the Penei Sewell cut up together? Did somebody put the Penei Sewell cut up together?
I put up something with him, but I did not put up that specific one. I would guess it's Justice. Justice has been doing some cut up.
Yeah, that probably is Justice. But yeah, I saw somebody put up that cut up against Penei Sewell, who's again just a dominant, you know, offensive tackle. Of course, they're going to see him this coming Sunday. And again, just you don't see Penei Sewell look like that against anybody. And Micah Parsons is just forcing him to have a very, very bad day at the office. It's just so exciting to see somebody like that that's going to help everyone else. As we get into this week and you see, or you get ready for the Detroit Lions, you know, the question, of course, is how much is he going to play? How much of the playbook is he going to know? And how do you kind of want to utilize him? So what are you kind of looking for in week one? Also understanding that there's a Thursday night football game immediately following the Sunday game as well. How would you like to see him utilized in this game?
Yeah, I mean, so I had my mind, the Khalil Mack to the Bears trade, I had my mind Mack played like 40% of snaps. The Mack played like 70% of snaps in that game. So I would imagine probably not that much, but like 50% of snaps in the first week, like I wouldn't be shocked. And he's in there for, you know, maybe first downs and obvious passing downs, something like that. Somewhere they're going to let him go. I mean, he's a smart guy, but to your point, I do think they will probably dial back the playbook a little bit. I'm kind of the mind that if they want to hold back until after the bye to fully unleash, like, the whole playbook, they could do that. But they could just start off with, all right, dude, you're a D end. You can swap the sides, but you're a D end in the wide nine looks. They bump him in over tackle, so we've got that stuff on there, like hand in the dirt, D end, bump you in like just slightly interior if we're going really wide, or we're doing the radar stuff with the you're over the center. If you want to do the mug stuff, cool, we can do that. But if you want to make it really, really simple, you're a D end on either side, and then we'll bump you in with the wide stuff, or we're just going five-man line and you just beat a center, like whichever way he's going, you go the other way. Like if they want to make it really simple, you can do that out of the gate. And I think that's probably what they'll end up doing. Maybe, you know, week three, you add some more, you add a few more things in there. You add like the double mug. They'll throw some mug stuff in there with him and Cooper, but I think you can get to a lot of that stuff still. If you're going Parsons, hand in the dirt, Cooper on that side, you can still do twists and stunts off of that without putting too much on Parsons' plate at that point. Work a couple things in. Since it is the early bye, they may just get by with that, go into that bye week five, come out week six, and now Micah's got the full playbook ahead of him. Like that wouldn't shock me if they want to slow play that a little bit like that.
Yeah, they do have a couple of those built-in breaks. You have after the Commanders game, you have that mini bye coming off of that where you can kind of ramp them up a little bit. And then, like you said, after that game against Dallas, which I'm sure is going to be a huge game for him, you have that bye week as well to also give him a couple weeks there to kind of pick things up a little bit more. So in a weird way, especially because you have the Thanksgiving game where you have a mini bye later in the season as well. In a weird way, I think the week five bye comes in not the worst case scenario for this particular Packers team. Being joined by Dusty Evely, acmepackingcompany.com, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on social media at Dusty Evely. Let me give you an either or. Would you rather Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper double A gap blitzing, which has already been a very successful look for them with Rashawn Gary and, you know, Micah Parsons out on the edges, knowing that you might get some one-on-one looks for Micah Parsons, or would you rather have, you know, Rashawn Gary, LVN on the edges, and then Edgerrin Cooper and Micah Parsons, double A gap blitzing. Like, there's just so many different things that Jeff Hafley is going to be able to do that I know you're geeking out as well. But what would you rather have in that specific situation?
I'm going the second one. I'm going the A gap mug, because you can do, I mean, you could do a bunch of stuff either way, but you could do a ton of stuff off the A gap mug with him and Cooper. Yeah. It puts so much stress on the defense. Like, they're everyone's going to have to pinch in. And you also have, I mean, Micah, as well as being tremendous pass rusher, as we all know, can also play off ball pretty well. So if they're going to, I mean, traditionally what they've done, you know, they I was thinking about this last night. Usually you get that A gap mug, and if you're not coming, you drop back into those little hook zones, those shallow zones. You could run some kind of like, you know, man match zone or something off of that, where Micah's picking up, you know, drop off. Micah can pick up the running back out of the backfield if he wants to. And if you want to run Tampa 2 behind that, which some of the stuff we've seen the Vikings do, Cooper could be your Tampa 2 runner off the line, because he's got the athleticism for that. Like, you can do 1,000 different things from that alignment, and it's just terrifying for defenses. So for me, I think that feels more fun. So I'll go with that. I'll go with the A-gap mug.
The best part is that both of those are very, very fun, and I think it's going to cause a lot of headaches and chaos for opposing offenses. One of the things we talked about in our opening segment today are just, what are the expectations now for Green Bay? Is this, maybe not this year, but is it Super Bowl or bust? Does it have to be a Super Bowl win in order for this trade to be successful? I brought up Khalil Mack, where I thought the Khalil Mack trade was successful, even if the Bears ultimately were not. It was not Khalil Mack's fault that Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy did not turn out to be the way that you ultimately wanted them to be if you were a Bears fan. It turned out great if you're a Packers fan. But how do you ultimately judge this trade for what happens from here on out?
Yeah, it's tough because every season is different. I mean, the difference is the same thing with the Mac stuff, where it was like, this is not a 1 year rental. He's going to be around for, you know, it looks like 5 years. It looks like, you know, at least three from the looks of things as far as how that stuff lays out. So I would say, I mean, you've got to make in the next 3 years, I'd say you've got to make at least one Super Bowl, like win it or not. But I mean, you don't do this to like, oh, made it to the divisional round. Like, that's not why you're making this move with this team. This team's made it to the divisional round. Obviously not that this past year, but if you feel like you've got the weapons, you've got the young guys. I mean, answer can change depending how some of the stuff plays out, but as it sits now, you give up two firsts, you give up Kenny Clark, you've got a team you feel like is ready. I feel like if you don't get a Super Bowl appearance in the next 3 years, you would say, well, that's, you know, maybe a bit of a failure of a trade. Even though I'm sure we'll have fun watching along the way, but that, I don't know, that feels right to me at the moment.
It feels weird that in any normal week, we would have been already spending all of our time breaking down Packers-Lions. It's a massive game, week one, and we've barely touched on it so far because of obviously the huge news about Micah Parsons, and wanted to get all of your amazing thoughts from your film study that you've done so far. But there is a huge game coming up on Sunday, Packers-Lions. What are you looking for in this one? Where is the game going to swing one way or the other? And kind of what are your expectations going into this game?
I mean, I think part of the reason I answered the way I did with the Parsons alignment is because of this game. And thinking about, you know, thinking about the Lions, where are they weak? Interior offensive line, which they have not been. You know, they're working on a couple new pieces. You had someone retire. They've Zeitler left, if I'm not mistaken, as well. Yep. So you've got a couple new pieces there. Obviously, we know like the coordinators are new. And so there's a little bit of unknown on both sides of the ball there. Even if, like, I do think there's going to be carryover. Like, I don't think... by the way, it's the offensive coordinator's name is John Morton. I always think it's Johnny Morton. I'm like, oh yeah, he was a good receiver. And then I look at the picture like, that's not the same man.
Not the same guy.
But I think he's been with the Lions before. I know Campbell kind of does as a bigger hand in the offense than people believe. But still, you're changing play caller. I think Ben Johnson was a tremendous play caller. And then defensive side, I think they basically handpicked this guy a couple years ago as the kind of heir apparent, Aaron Glenn. So I think there's going to be some carryover there. But there's still a lot of unknowns, and to me, it's the weakness on the inside of the interior line, of the offensive line. So if you're mugging A-gap stuff there, if you're putting stress on the interior of the offensive line, that's what you can do with this defense. That's where they're weak anyway. So to me, that's like, all right, that's where we're going. We're trying to on defense, we're trying to stress that middle. We think we can get some free runners. We think we can collapse, and we think we get some free runs on the outside. Like, we think we can do that. We think we can kind of dominate the game up front. On that stretch, and the running game, the Lions running game has been great. I think you lose something losing those guys as well. And so now you've got some You know, hopefully Evan Williams healthy this year, you know, coming in healthy this year. We know what he is. Cooper 100% this year as well. So you've got this very athletic second year group behind him that's able to play downhill a little bit more. I think you can shut down the run a little bit. And then, I mean, offensive side, I don't know how the defense is going to be. Glenn ran like a very specific defense, but he ran it in a very specific way. I think the attitude's still going to be there. I think you see a drop off. We've seen Love. I think the last game he did. I mean, he's not played well against them. Like, did not start well the past couple games. Healthy Love, I think, is a different animal. I think the offense is going to be more aggressive with Parsons. I think the play calls are going to be different from the downs because of what they feel Parsons can give you. I think we see not a different offense. I think we see a different approach. And I think we see Love coming out of the gate better against the Lions than he did last year as well. So, I mean, I'm seeing – I think defense is going to look better. I think you can take advantage of the interior of the offensive line. And then I think they can get the run game going a little bit because McNeil's still out. I may have trouble drop back pass stuff just because Hutchinson is an animal and he's obviously going to want to wreck shop, but I think they can get what they want in the passing game as well. So this might just be first week. And I think it is because there's so many unknowns. This doesn't feel like a bad matchup to me right now where it did last year. I think just because there's more unknowns on the Lions and more people on the Lions, this is one where like week one Lions at this point, I think I'd rather face the Lions week one than week 10 as it currently stands, because there are, by that point, some of the stuff levels up, but by now I think they're maybe trying to figure some stuff out. And so I think you can jump on them right now.
Not all the genius things that you just mentioned, but I just think getting that bump from getting Micah Parsons, I think the crowd is going to be insane. I think Green Bay is well aware they went 1-5 in the division, that they lost both games to Detroit, that they went 0-6 in big games a season ago. I think they're going to understand the assignment here. And I think all the things that you mentioned, that it's probably better to get them right now, and all those things kind of working in their favor. I like Green Bay for a lot of different reasons as well. By the way, Johnny Morton, that is not a name I have heard in a long time. 53 years old, Johnny Morton, made me feel very old, first of all. Also, did not know former Packers assistant special teams coach, running back kick returner Chad Morton was his brother. Did not know that either. So
I didn't know that either.
The more you know, Dusty Evely. All right, we got to get you out of here. I know you've got a lot going on. Any final thoughts and kind of a prediction for this game?
No, man, I'm just excited to watch. It's week one's always exciting anyway, but then you add week one to all the excitement from Parsons just like less than a week ago at this point. And so I'm ready to watch some football, man. I'm hyped to watch it. I'm, again, riding high a little bit. I'm taking Packers 31-21. I'm feeling good at the moment, Andy.
I love that. Who will have a better performance on Monday Night Football, Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson or J.J. McCarthy and Kevin O'Connell?
Caleb and Ben Johnson. I do feel like maybe that catches up with them at some point, but I think they come out of the gate pretty well, and I think McCarthy still maybe needs a little more time.
The one thing that I'm intrigued by is I don't think you could pick a worse matchup for Caleb Williams in this new system than Brian Flores in that Vikings defense. Like, you have a time to throw issue and now you're trying to figure out a new offense. Like, hey, welcome. You got Brian Flores, who most veteran quarterbacks can't figure out in a given moment. So I am intrigued by that, but I don't think your answer is wrong either. Dusty, I cannot thank you enough. Football is just about here. We've got our first game tomorrow. Enjoy the heck out of it. And of course, follow him at Dusty Evely, and of course, acmepackingcompany.com, Packaday Podcast. Anything I missed?
No, I think that's it.
I appreciate you a ton. We will do this as soon as I possibly can get you to come back on. We'll definitely do it again. You enjoy football, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, see you, Andy. Thanks, dude.
You bet. Thank you to Dusty for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Make sure to follow him on social media, at Dusty Evely. It's the Packaday Radio Show. More right after this.